oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
Okay, welcome back. That was quite an interesting hour with Father Kramer. I hope you all got a chance to hear it, and it was excellent. It'll be in the archives. We'll put it up for you so you can listen to that again. All right, it's time for the Jeff and Erica COVID Chronicles edition for Friday, the end of another week, and we continue to see things that are very disconcerting, very, very much so. And to say the least, it does seem that, and I have this theory that I mentioned, that shedding is so effective that spike protein has been literally spread much further than most people would guess. And I do suspect that it has taken a toll on the mental competence of a lot of people, certainly the emotional stability of a lot of people. And that has to do with the simple fact that the spike protein causes clotting wherever it ends up, and it ends up wherever there happens to be blood flow. So you can figure it out. Wherever the brain is impacted the most, these are micro things that are going on at the capillary level. You have brain death, brain damage, cells die, and the brain does not regenerate. So I do suspect that that is part of the reason people are saying that, gosh, I don't even recognize my mom anymore, or my dad, they don't act the same, my brother, my friend, whatever. People are being affected by this, whether injected or not. Injected, certainly far more, I would think, than the uninjected, but I don't think anyone is spared to speak of anymore, especially if you work around the vaxxed. Your vax opposite is your biggest worry right now. And it works both ways. I won't explain it again. I've done it many times. All right, pretty girl, are you there?
I'm here, Jeff. Happy Friday.
Happy
St. Patrick's Day.
That's it. Yes, happy St. Patrick's Day. And I hope we're all around for another one. I sometimes wonder, this thing is really, really taking a big swing at the ranks. The rank and file people are paying very heavily for this, for taking those shots, and it's just never talked about in the media. It's just not. So it's not
real. At all.
It's feeding, the mainstream media is feeding denial, and that's how most people are dealing with this, denial. It's not their fault. I get it. I understand. Not a surprise in the least. So, All right. We have spent time in our last program. Was it the last one? I guess it was, wasn't it?
Oh, I think it was a couple programs ago.
Two programs ago.
Together.
When we talked about they do run together. When we talked about our pet friends, our dogs, our cats.
Yep.
And there may be other animals involved, too. We don't know. A mammal's a mammal, and we think that nobody is necessarily immune to this nightmare. We did spend a lot of time talking about dogs and cats and how they are paying a terrible price. We've read anecdotal stories from people who are dog breeders who literally are seeing entire litters lost now. And it's not isolated. It's being found in multiple locations. So there we go. We're going to start out and talk about dogs and cats again and update this a little bit. Now we're going to play a little bit from a video. There's more to this. I guess just as a prelude, I used to own pet stores. I had at one time built up to I had five of them. They weren't all at the same time, but they were sequential. And I learned an awful lot about the pet industry in this country. And I'm sure it's the same in most others. Most pet food for dogs and cats will kill your animal. They'll shorten the lives of your animals. They'll give your animals terrible diseases, neurologic diseases, cancers. They'll give pet food, by and large, is poison. It's toxic. Now, some of the best top-of-the-line foods are wonderful. Okay, and then there are people who will prepare for their dogs. For example, they'll get a chicken, an organic chicken, and they'll cut it up in pieces, and they'll cook a leg with a bunch of vegetables and rice and so forth, brown rice, which is fine, and they'll make their dogs organic whole food. That's the best way to go. But there are some foods that are out there that are excellent. I can't drop any names right now, but you need to do your research. Do not ever buy your dog run-of-the-mill supermarket pet food. Don't do it. Even in a pet store, there's junk. And if you read the chemical composition of these foods, they're not foods at all. I'll stop there. Same with cats. Go ahead.
Yeah, when looking at the number of dogs and cats and other animals, too, that are now succumbing to this shedding phenomenon, I think part of the problem, certainly not all of it, is due to the fact that these animals are malnourished. I mean, I know of people that feed their cats only dry kibble and nothing else. That's probably the worst example. But, the typical garden variety pet food is not going to cut it, I think, or give the animal the nutritional reserves it needs to confront this bioweapon. And that's at least partially accounts for what we're seeing, I believe, in some of these animals. And I think people are just a little too quick to run towards what could be toxic treatments for their animals, when in fact all you have to do is really just shore up their nutrition and they will have the reserves to combat this to some extent. These pet foods are woefully deficient in the B vitamins that are needed for detoxification, and then some of the amino acids. And I would highly recommend, if you want to protect your animal from what's going on now, to at least get them some kind of a supplemental pet vitamin. And in some cases, you could even use the human vitamins. I've known people to do that.
Yeah.
Some of them are liquids, and you can just drizzle it on their food, and they're quite palatable. They're designed to be palatable. And I think that would give your pet, just an upper leg in combating this, rather than dousing them with CDS or MMS that they may or may not drink. And then people have been running to the ivermectin and using the horse paste on their animals, which is totally inappropriate, particularly for cats. You can kill a cat by doing that. I would put more emphasis on the nutrition rather than running towards these half-baked remedies in some cases that have a good chance of poisoning the animal further.
Okay, let's Let's go ahead and do some from our human file here, just to start things off. We'll pick this up and remind everyone out there, if you are vaxxed and you have pets, you will shed on your pets. Please remember that. It's not your fault. You can't help it, but understand that. Does that mean you should pet your pets less? That's only something you can decide. It's not for us to say. But understand you are transmitting to pets, dogs, cats, and your human friends. You are shedding.
Yeah.
Period. It's not easy to say. It's not fun to say. It's the truth, though. And you're not just shedding Spike. You're shedding
right.
the instructions, the blueprints that'll go into your body or whoever you're talking to's body and set up in their cells the manufacturing of spike protein with the mRNA. You're shedding both. You are shedding both spike and mRNA. Please just remember that. It's not your fault, and your immune system is already down. We understand. We care a great deal about both our vaxxed and unvaxxed listeners. And I don't know where this is ultimately going to go in terms of time, how fast it's happening, but it does seem to be picking up quite a bit of velocity. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, we have pets shedding. We're going to do this first, and we're going to play a little piece of a video that some of you will remember. It goes back a couple of years. Anyhow, all right, where do we want to start here?
No, might as well start with number one.
Okay, go to it.
Question. Has anyone had a dog or cat get sick from the vax shedding? Our veterinarian thinks we are crazy. Multiple replies. Yes, I've heard of it. Use CDS for your pets. Yep, animals have the worst effects from shedding. Another one says, my cat gets diarrhea from secondary shedding. Keep your cat away from the shedders. You want to pick it up?
Yeah, sure. I'm trying to get this video cued.
Oh, I'll keep going then. All right.
Yeah, just go ahead.
Okay, absolutely. Animals are dying like crazy. I recently gave a small dog that was on its deathbed one half of a syringe, kid medicine syringe of chlorine dioxide. That evening, the dog could walk again and even ate. The woman and her little boy had been vaccinated. This is so awful. Another one says, our young and healthy bunny died within a day. We gave it an autopsy, or we gave it two autopsy.
A bunny.
We've never had an animal that became deathly ill so quickly, and CDS uh-huh. did not help. Another one says, I'm sitting here gutted. My beloved Thumps, a 3.5-year miniature lion lop, perfectly healthy, just suddenly died too last August. His cage had been moved in close proximity to my partner's bedroom less than a week before.
Mm-hmm.
In our case, we suspect the feed was the cause. We fed organic herbs from abroad. I washed everything well and gave zeolite often. In a few days, I will receive the pathological autopsy report. Maybe then I will know more. All my neighbors are vaccinated. We very often could not be in the garden because the smell is so unpleasant. We now have lost two rabbits so suddenly, one had internal bleeding in the lungs.
Wow. All right. Next entry into this thread. Seems like your neighbors shedded all over your pets as the bioweapon is shedded through the air. And there's a response to that. That really seems to be the case. Otherwise, we have no contact with the vaccinated. A neighboring family has a really pungent smell. The father smells so strongly of decay, there's that putrescence again, that it wafts through the tilted window into my kitchen. Try and fashion that one. Unfortunately, it seems to affect more than just the animals. I have periods all the time because of it now. Hopefully it won't be as bad this summer. We have smells from all sides. And the next Is anyone here using ivermectin 1.87% with cats? Can it be done?
One.
Uh-oh. Number four?
Backup one. Number five.
Oh, it jumped ahead. It's number five is at the bottom. Sorry. I see it. In my list, it's at the bottom.
Okay.
It just skips from four to six.
Yeah, I see what happened.
All right. Okay. Absolutely. Animals are dying like blah, blah, blah. The same happened to my sister. She freaked out when I said it's likely from shedding that the dog died. How much would you give your cat, someone says, talking about ivermectin, and how to know if he needed it? He used to spend time with neighbors who are all vaxxed. See, there's another problem. Cat goes out, goes next door to get a little treat, gets fed once in a while. They do that. And they're going to be around people who may be vaxxed. And they get petted, and they get shed upon. And they bring it home. And you pet your cat. And you're picking up spike and mRNA on your hands. Think of the skin like a sponge, a damp sponge. It'll go right through it. This really sounds almost paranoid, doesn't it? But it's the truth. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's why they call it a bioweapon.
Okay. How much would you give your cat again and know that's enough? How do you know he even needs it? He used to spend time with neighbors who are all vaxxed. And the response to that is, this 10-year-old domestic short-haired cat has been exposed to triple vaxxed people. He weighs 7 pounds, 2 ounces. Is there a chlorine dioxide protocol so that I know how much to give him, as well as how often? Go ahead, number six.
Okay, question.
And seven. Yeah.
All right. Is anyone here using ivermectin 1.87%, that would be the horse paste, with cats? Can it be done? Answer, I wouldn't risk it. Many cats have suffered neurological damage from it. What are you trying to achieve for your cat?
Go.
Let's see. Will it open up? Yeah.
Number seven.
Another says, God, please don't. I know of people whose pets have died from it, and one lady of her, three of her cats went blind. Two eventually recovered.
Now, Erica posted a response to this. I'm going to read it. Or do you want to read your own? You, whatever you want to do.
All right, I'll read it.
You read it.
Ivermectin is neurotoxic. It is safe in mammals as long as the body is able to keep it out of the brain and central nervous system. Unfortunately, this ability is unpredictable, as we are now seeing with the frequent and casual use of this insecticide. Cats are exquisitely sensitive to the toxic effects of this medication. I can recall years ago reading many sad stories in the review section on Amazon for HeartGuard chewables for cats from cat owners whose cats were neurologically damaged and or died from the product.
We're going to talk more about HeartGuard, by the way. We're going to talk more about that. Go ahead.
Which might explain why Amazon no longer carries this product for cats. And then there's a link to a recent study. Well, it's not that recent, actually. Serious neurological adverse events after ivermectin. Do they occur beyond the indication of onchocerciasis? That's the river blindness that they use it for in tropical countries. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if it gets into the central nervous system, it is toxic. And that's something you need to pay attention to. And cats, for some reason, and little dogs also are very sensitive to this. So I would not be even considering using something like horse paste in a pet, but dog or cat. No way.
You know, you go out with your dog. Say you go out for a walk with your dog on a leash, and some stranger comes up and bends down to pet your dog. I can speak for Erica on this. We wouldn't allow that to happen. We'd say, please don't touch the dog. If you have to say, please don't touch the dog, he bites. Say it.
Yeah, whatever it takes,
You've got to protect your pets. And again, it's not the, we're not blaming the vaxxed here. We're dealing with something that has been forcibly injected, figuratively, into literally, into society, into humankind.
Yeah.
So we have to confront this honestly and objectively. Otherwise, we're just spitting in the wind. It's a joke. Bad joke. Okay, now this video, I get is a 36-second total time, TRT, total running time on the video. I've reloaded it. I cannot come up to the four-minute point. It just won't go there. It's 36 seconds completely across the screen, even though it's clearly running at normal TRT, which is probably whatever, however many minutes. It's a veterinarian. It's a guy in a black T-shirt, right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. All right, I don't know where to start here. I mean, I can go about, was it about halfway through? I've got the full run of it.
4 minute mark or so.
All right. Let me see what it sounds like, and you tell me if I need to advance it. Okay, hold on. All right, here we go.
Just not sure what's causing it. It seems like it's probably going to be some sort of infectious cord.
How's that?
Oh. I think that you've got a different video.
Oh, all right. Well, it's the guy at the top. We're just not sure what's causing it, says Dr. Scott Miller on the mystery dog illness. That's the video I have.
Oh, I think you have the news clip. That's what you've got.
All right.
You want to go to the YouTube video, right?
I went to what you were able to send, so... I got it.
It was previous to this one.
Yeah, it keeps reloading to the same video.
There's a
minute-long commercial in front of it. Is that the vet we want, or is that a different vet?
No. This was a YouTube video.
I'm at
WalesOnline.com. I'll just give a synopsis of it.
You okay? All right.
It's regarding the toxicity of these chemical flea and tick medications that people are using rather routinely now. I mean, they have been for a couple decades. And they are neurotoxic. And if you remember, shortly after the vax rollout back in 2021, summer of 2021, there was reports of dogs becoming sick in Wales along the Yorkshire coast. And at the time, they didn't know what it was. And even in January of 2022, 6 months later, they hadn't determined what was making these dogs sick. And it was symptoms, gastrointestinal symptoms mostly, severe vomiting, diarrhea, dehydration, weakness. And apparently, an environmental group studied the water there. They did an analysis of what they were finding in the water along the coast, and they determined that there were high levels of residues from these flea and tick medications. And they surmised that this was what was making the dog sick. I don't know if that really holds water. I mean, our conjecture at the time was that the dog's owners had probably been vaxxed, and these dogs were experiencing the consequences of that shedding and being sick. And I think that's probably more likely, because now that same illness has been found inland. It's not just along the coast, but it's inland. And at least one vet with the British Veterinary Association believes that there's a virus involved. So I think we're making a little bit of progress. They're not saying that it's a spike protein or anything like that, or a coronavirus, but at least we've got it down to some kind of opportunistic pathogen, and maybe less likely these insecticides. But I don't know. Maybe it's a synergistic effect. If these dogs are being given this type of insecticide routinely, and then they're exposed to people who are shedding, maybe it's a double whammy enough to cause them to be seriously ill.
Well, that's a reasonable possible. And again, we're wading into territory we've never been in before, and we're trying to assemble as much of a mirrored reality of the truth as we can. So it's a bit of a guessing game from time to time. for sure. So these are good guesses, though. Good postulations.
I just hope people really seriously consider or rethink their use of these types of products on their animals. They don't repel these fleas and ticks. The fleas and ticks can still bite them. They just, you know, will die after they bite them, but they can still bite them and transmit their disease.
The amusing part is, I think, what you're about to say, and that's you're literally making your dog's blood toxic.
Yes.
To kill these parasites.
Right.
How insane is that? How crazy does it get?
Right.
And now they have HeartGuard, which I'm going to repeat that. You're literally putting in your dog, whether it's you're dropping on the back of his neck or her neck, its neck, liquid goes into the body, or you give it to him orally. It's making the blood deadly for fleas and ticks.
Yeah.
Think about it. How insane does it get? Well, I'm gonna low-level poison your dog or cat to make it safe. Come on. Groom the dog. Use organic, natural. Give them baths occasionally. There are good products out there you can use that'll help. But it's all about cleanliness and how much you care about your pet. You got to just use a flea comb, whatever, okay? Things you can do.
There are ways to deal with it. You know, the diatomaceous earth is, food-grade diatomaceous earth is something you can put in their food daily, and it will keep, internal parasites away. You can even dust their fur with it.
Yep. This thing about HeartGuard has a new version out now, and I should look it up just to get the amount of time they claim it will be good for. They're claiming it lasts. How long was it? Some silly time, silly amount of time. HeartGuard long acting. Let's see if that does it. One shot protects for 1 year.
Wow.
Now this is, I should be specific. This is for heartworm. Heartworm.
Jeez.
HeartGuard. But you're going to put enough insecticide, it's supposedly time released, I'm assuming, in your pet to last a year. That's a hell of a lot of insecticide. So, and that's been brought out to do what? To take care of people who, I forget to give my dog once a month his HeartGuard pill. Well, you don't forget. If you care about your pet, you don't forget. If you're really sold on HeartGuard, once a month, you're still putting poison in your dog's body, in the blood. It's there. That's good. The parasites drink the blood, they're going to die. Or they're going to get the hell out of there, one way or the other. Heartworm disease now, a one-shot a year dose. I can't conceive of it.
No.
I can't. And I used to be in the business, and I researched all of it. I never pushed HeartGuard. I didn't like the idea of making your dog's blood or your cat's blood deadly to fleas and ticks. It's stupid.
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
So there you go.
And they said one of these studies that was cited in this video that you were not able to play, one in every two animals had an adverse reaction to one of these things.
Adverse reaction, neurological issues, lethargy. There were a lot of different things. It kind of was a pretty interesting spectrum, right? I'll bet it was.
They're all, in some way, they're designed to be neurotoxic to the insect and not to the cat or the dog, but many times they are. For whatever reason, the detox pathways are compromised and they don't detoxify them properly and they get into the central nervous system and cause problems.
All right. Well, this is tangential to the shedding conversations we've been having and we've mentioned already. Shedding, mRNA, and spike, guarantee your dog or cat is going to get shed upon if they're around people who have been vaccinated. And that's a tragedy. And dog breeders now, cat breeders, say you want to buy a prized line of kitties, whatever, and the breeders are vaxxed, fully vaxxed. You're going to get a kitten who has been shed upon, and you may end up with a problem. It may take a year, two, three, four, 5 years. Who knows? But that cat that young puppy is going to be literally already shed upon and toxified with these terrible things that are in these shots.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what kind of an animal you're acquiring. Is it going to have health problems? Is it going to make you sick?
I know for people, there is an antibody test or an antigen test that will show if someone's been vaxxed or not.
Yes. I
don't know the name of it, but I'm wondering if that might be something that could be run on a dog or a cat, that same test. To find it. So, in other words, it won't show that the pet's been vaxxed, but it'll show if the pet has been exposed to the vaxxed. That's my idea.
Yeah, there should be.
No.
You know, I mean, blood is blood. It doesn't matter if it comes from a human or an animal.
Right. That's why I raised the issue.
You're just looking for the antibody to the spike. But I don't know that it's commercially available through any vet.
Don't know. Don't know. Okay.
But again, you know, then you're left to interpret what does that antibody mean? Is it protective,
right?
Or
that's exactly right. So we're really getting into a very unpleasant and sad situation here with our pets, and I don't like bringing this kind of news. Neither does Erica, but it's the truth. We've got to
be on top of this. Aside from keeping your pets away from people who are vaxxed, I would certainly think about giving them a supplement of a good B complex with an emphasis on niacin. These animals need niacin just like we do to maintain
NAD.
Their levels of NAD. And not niacinamide. It has to be nicotinic acid. And
okay,
you can sprinkle
remember
it on
that,
food.
Everyone.
They will eat it. It's not offensive. It's, you know.
Right.
That they will eat it if you mash it up with their food.
No niacinamide.
Yeah,
you want the acid. You want the
nicotinic.
Just think of acid. You want acid. Acid. Nicotinic acid. All right. Okay. Hopefully that wasn't confusing. I don't think it was. We just have to remember that this stuff knows no bounds. Could people be shedding on their horses? Yes, possible. We have no proof yet. It's a big animal, 1,500 pounds, whatever.
Yeah.
1,000 pounds. But still, the idea of shedding must be accepted if you're going to stand a chance of minimizing your future health if you're not vaxxed. If you are vaxxed, we know there are things to be done to try to keep your immune system functional, to keep you healthy, to fight the fact that you have AIDS to one degree or another. That's an acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Your immune system is now deficient. You can pick up all kinds of things. And one thing that I would suggest, and I'm not trumpeting this for any other reason, and it's common sense, I would be taking, and I do, one capsule of Allicin C a day. That is the strongest broad-spectrum, all-natural antibiotic on the planet, and it will help those with compromised immune systems stay healthy. It'll help them fight off things that normally their immune system would take care of, but that extra advantage of this brilliant Allicin C product will make a difference, and that's as far as I'm going to go with that. Okay. Where do you want to go next? We have so much to do here. I don't know where to go next. Just start doing our human stuff, I guess.
Yeah, let's do that.
People really appreciate that. I get nice emails, and thank you for writing. These are anecdotal. We understand that. They're not hard science, but they're damned compelling, and these people are being terribly abused by this bioweapon and killed. So we try to help you. And I think all of you listening now out there know someone who has been either killed or severely wounded by this. Many know multiple people who have been so affected. This biological weapon is a ringing success. It is doing what it was designed and built to do. Only one thing, kill people. And those who are wounded and disabled are not getting better. They're struggling. They're going through every test that medical science can charge them for, as in profit, and they're not getting better. They're saying, well, here's all we can do, and, you know, good luck, and it's tough. You know the supplements to take, all of you. We've talked about them enough, and we do believe that the nicotinic acid is very important, niacin, that form of it, in addition to all the other things. Do we think you should take, we'll go through this again, because some idiot wrote recently and said, how can you talk about ivermectin and taking it all the time? We don't recommend that. We never have. If you have it on hand and you get sick with the virus, I'd try it, no problem. I certainly wouldn't take it every day. I'd take it 2 or 3 days in a row and see what happens. We know it has saved the lives of many people who have been grievously ill in the hospital. People sneak it into them, and they take it, and they get better. The next day, they get better. So it has its place. But caution and common sense must apply to anything you take, any kind of so-called, how about auxiliary aid? I don't want to say medication.
Right.
All right, anyhow. Okay. So,
let's see.
Aren't you part Irish, if I'm not mistaken?
I ain't telling.
Well, I ain't telling either, because I know. All right, go ahead. Happy St. Patty's Day. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
I'm half Irish.
I have a brother named Danny.
Yes, and our family name was Shearer, Sheaerer is another one. So I'm half, and anyhow, go ahead.
All right, where do we want to go? 15th of March?
Yeah, we have Shedding Fearmongering. What's this about?
Okay.
Let me take the first one.
Okay.
All right. I could imagine that the shedding thing is another propaganda tool to attack the unvaxxed people mentally, to split the society and create a climate of fear, like in the time of COVID propaganda. Answer to that, I get what you mean, but I can tell you that shedding is quite real. I'm very reactive to it, but I have thought the same, says someone else. I would react in my sleep, too, 100%. I still think his thoughts are valid. It's just that people who feel it just have the advantage to feel it right away, and that is proof enough. I, too, have friends who don't feel much from it, shedding. The sensitive ones are the minority. Many effects of the jab are targeted at mind control and fertility, if you ask me. These people are getting off the rails a little bit here. It makes perfect sense. It was always about fertility. No, that was a main part of the targeting of this bioweapon was fertility. We know that. So if you don't feel anything, i.e. shedding, you might think you're fine, but maybe you get infertile along the way. You got to protect yourself. Whoever designed this was very smart. That is a perfect statement. Whoever designed this was very smart. It's doing exactly what it was created to do. Go ahead.
And another reply to that. Oh, no, it's real. Last year, when my ex tried to touch me again on 3 occasions, I got nasty acne on my thigh. My breast swelled where he touched me, and on another occasion, he kissed me hard. I got a sore mouth and throat. It's real, and he is triple jabbed.
Oh, I understand why he's an ex, but why didn't she put up a little barrier? Do not touch. I guess she didn't know.
You know, probably the first time it happens, you think, oh, it's a fluke, just a coincidence. But sometimes you need a repeated experiences with it to know that it's real.
She got 3 of them. All right, here's another one. Shedding is real. Actually, writes someone, I'm a bit skeptical about shedding without contact. What exactly are they shedding? Spike protein? And there's an answer to that. I don't know. If it is the spike, the graphene, both, and something else, what the jabbed are shedding. For me, it's enough to go to the supermarket to get rashes. That's all it takes. So the shedding comes also from the air. 5G might also be a factor. But I live in a small village without 5G, and I also get near the problems. I also get the problems here. If I talk to someone on the street who is jabbed, for example, I get the problems. I think we all got some parts from the jab in our body, but everyone reacts different. Also, the jabbed reacted differently. Some became very ill or even died, and some seem to be healthy. And there's an answer to that. It looks like rashes from shedding. Put a fresh onion on it for a few hours. That is helping me the best. Well, all right. Good luck. Shedding smells. Do that one. That's good.
Recently, I developed very sensitive shedding symptoms from the smell that comes out of some people. I am daily sickened. The smell odor is almost suffocating in small spaces. It is almost gaseous, a sweet, warm chemical odor that hits me like something dying. I am a trained palliative care nurse, used to fungating wounds, always very good at dealing with them while others paled and had to leave. But this vac smell is very troubling. I don't know why. I wonder if it is because of the realization their bodies are dying.
See, that's the thing we introduced long, long ago, that people are, by degrees, dying. And when those degrees become common enough, you begin to smell it. They start to throw off putrescence. We've talked about all of these aspects of it before. Anything you want to add to that? That shedding smell thing is becoming more common now.
Yeah, it is. I'm seeing more and more of it. I have not experienced it personally, but I've seen enough reports that. We can account
I've
for why.
I've smelled it. I've
have
smelled
you?
It. You smelled it in the vet's office.
That was a
Didn't
chemical
you?
Smell. That was overpowering chemical smell.
Huh? Like some disinfectant had gotten
yeah,
loose.
Yeah, it did.
Something.
It smelled like very.
I see.
But not like any disinfectant I'd ever smelled before. It didn't smell like. The typical vet's office, kind of.
I've smelled
sanitizer.
It two or three times on individuals, and it's been the same in two of them. And it was like a real bad, heavy, ugly cologne smell. It's difficult to describe these odors. One of them was in the store, and this guy didn't look well. He was a big guy, 6'3", maybe. And he walked past me in the aisle, and it was putrid. It was awful. And
like musty,
he didn't look
musty,
well.
Moldy or?
No, like musty, like dying awful, like dead flesh dying, putrid, bad. And so those are my three smell stories. Okay, I'm at March 15th. Symptoms of shedding. Let's see what this is. Can anyone tell me some secondary shedding experiences, please? And here's a response. A tightening of the chest, like someone has a wide band around the chest and is tightening it. Then the headache at the back of the neck. Then wanting to dry cough and do dry cough. And then the next thing is feeling like vomiting. That's quite a progression. Never knew what it was at first. It took half an hour away from the damned spiky ones for it to fully go away. After, I felt extremely drained and had a lack of energy for 2 days. And now I'm having post-menopause ovarian pains. Like what the... I don't know what this is saying here. I don't know either. I don't live in an area with much EMF and zero Wi-Fi. It happened again in another shop about a month later when too many were around me. Too close. It started, and I got out of there the moment the chest thing started. So she has a compression, a constriction of her chest. That's very interesting. Another time with a person working on a microscope around her was fine. Knew she was most likely done, as hubby would be double, if not triple, vaxxed. She was right beside me when her iPhone was in her hand and the damned thing's screen activated, which means it was receiving some kind of update. Then I copped... You want to finish this? I can't follow this woman's writing.
It's difficult. Then I copped it, boom, in the chest, apparently. I noticed the phone activate and the chest thing before the phone fully activated and made a beep. Some will think this is crazy. What if this works on bioresonance of a person, i.e. their energy field? What if the mobile phone activating literally increases the intensity of their energy field to the point it literally spikes one big time, to the point that it's like them zapping us with static electricity? Anyway, those are my experiences, and I feel drained whenever I go out. Wearing a personal air ionizer on my body has been helping when I need to go out.
Okay, I think we can consider that without the Apple iPhone vignette. I don't see any direct connection there. But the rest of it, being around people who have been vaxxed, the dryness, the dry cough, the chest tightening, the headache at the back of the neck. Yeah, yeah. And what's at the back of the neck, at the base of the brain?
Yeah, your brainstem.
So we've talked about this many times. And if the shedding issue is, as we think, it goes right in, goes right in the blood, it could be in your brain within 90 seconds. With 60 seconds, it could be in your brain and be bothering your brainstem, irritating it. We don't know. But these are key areas. The lungs, for sure. The bronchial tubes, okay. The chest feeling tight, that's the heart. And then the brain issue, that's possible. And then nausea. All right. The personal ionizer, Eric and I wear one whenever we go out. It's right there on the homepage, and it's an outstanding product. It stays charged for days, but stays charged for many, many hours. You can just USB charge it. But you really should get one and wear it whenever you go out around other people, period. And we recommend gloves as well.
Yes. Yep.
All right. Next. Go ahead. Symptoms of shedding. That's what that one was. Transmission of vaccination. You pick it. We got two at the top I missed. Feline victim of shedding. Heart damage from shedding. We didn't do those two.
All right. We can do those.
Go ahead.
Heart damage from shedding. My dad was triple vaxxed and acquired a horrific autoimmune disease mid-March called bullous pemphigoid. He passed on April 19, just 1 month later. I got a hold of his vax card and looked up his batch numbers on howbadismybatch.com. The first two doses he received in March 2021 were ranked number 18 of the worst. I'm unvaxxed, but spent much time with him in the hospital holding his hand, etc. It was 5 months after his last vax. I had a checkup in February, and my heart was fine. On July 25th, I went to the doctor, and he heard a pretty serious heart murmur. He sent me to get an echocardiogram and then to a cardiologist. Here are the cardiologist's notes in what he saw. Quote, at least moderate eccentric mitral insufficiency in the setting of what appears to be a myxomatomas mitral valve with prolapse. There may be a systolic reversal flow in the pulmonary veins, which is a marker of more severe mitral insufficiency. It is also bothersome that she has left atrial enlargement, albeit mild, in the absence of another obvious etiology. I am going to ask that she undergo transesophageal endocardiography to better define the anatomy of her mitral valve and the severity of the insufficiency. End of quote. This all of a sudden popped up somewhere between February and July. Then it hit me. My dad was sick, and I spent a lot of time with him over a three-week period in April. Does anyone think there could be a connection? Is there a D-dimer test or something else you could recommend that might shed some more light on this? By the way, I'm 55, female, 124 pounds, and healthy. Thanks in advance.
Yeah, Yeah. Okay. Here's the cat one. It's real short. My cat got spiked by a friend after my friend got boosted, and my cat got hyperthyroidism. It lasted a year, and then he got a blood clot. I had to have him put down. So it doesn't happen in a week. It could happen a year or two or three. You don't know. And all that time, your pet is feeling awful, just awful. And they can't tell you. Oh, you can tell by looking at them if you know your pet, their eyes and their demeanor.
No, but they hide it well. They can hide it for a long time.
That's called pack survival. They hide it. They do that. They're not supposed to show weakness.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go do this Airbnb thing.
Okay.
We get through that. All right. I have a vacation rental cabin in Montana that I used to list through Airbnb. The moment I put it in the listing that it was restricted to non-vax guests only, all hell broke loose. They instantly shut down my listing and the battle began. I won for the summer of 2021 after going on national news telling my story. It was so well received by people just like us. We were booked solid all summer with 100% vax-free guests. It was wonderful. Okay, number two is short. Many Americans want a vacation destination that is vax-free. Airbnb is going to miss out. What is the business contact information? And go ahead, do number three and on.
Another asks, I wonder, how do they know they are not vaxxed, or how do you know they are not vaxxed?
That's it. It's the honor system.
There should be a way to test for it. I have had so many tests this year, they are literally running out of tests. Okay. Answer to that, many Americans want a vacation rental. We just closed it for rentals after that. VRBO shut me down at the same time Airbnb did. Cabal Corporations, both of them. We refused to allow vaxxed people on our ranch property, so we shut down the cabin for rental at that point.
All right, how do we find listings like this? I wish we could go on Poshmark and other places. I used to love traveling and buying secondhand items, but now everything is contaminated. When you smell it and feel it coming off the jabbed and the things they've touched, it just changes everything. And that's a very true statement. Oh, yeah. And if you do go traveling, make sure to bring an impermeable cover for the mattress. Good idea. People sweat a lot during the night, and if they're vaccinated, that sweat will be full of spikes, and it will all go into the mattress. Indeed it will. And then come out again when the next person lies on it. I know this from personal experience. Most people probably won't notice, but as I've said, I'm very susceptible. In a way, I'm starting to find that very useful in these times. And that is true. I have to say this. Any hotel room, motel room, you're rolling the dice. I don't care if you do put something on the bed. There's still a sheets. There's blankets people are going to use. The bedspreads are notoriously horrific for germs anyhow. So it's just, it's in there. It's in the carpeting. It's in the curtains. It's hard to believe we're really talking about these things. It sounds like some bad science fiction novel written 25, 30 years ago.
Well, yeah, we are at war. It might not feel like it, but
we are.
That's
a life or death war. That's what it is, literally. Literally. So, okay, I think that's it for tonight and the week. Thank you all for caring. Thank you for being here. And if you make use of this to better your life, that's why we're doing it. And if you choose not to, that's your choice. So thank you again for caring. And thank you, young lady. And happy St. Patrick's Day again.
Thank you. My pleasure, Jeff. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. Good night.
And we'll be right back from live in Donetsk with Russell Bentley next.